A family in Huntersville had one son. His name was Bobby. About 9 months ago, his mom got pregnant, and about 3 months ago, his dad came to Bobby and seeking to teach some theology. He said, "Now, Bobby, if you'll pray for the next 3 months, every day, then God might bring you a baby brother." So Bobby took this to heart, and he prayed the first month, and prayed every day the second month, but, you know, nothing was happening. And so he decided to give up and stop praying. Well, a month later, his mom gave birth. And his dad brought him to the hospital, took him into his mom's room, and pulled back the covers and said, "See, Bobby, God has given you a baby brother." And then he walked over and he turned down the other side and said, "And he's given you a second baby brother." They're twins. And so he looked at Bobby and he saw this as a teaching moment. Looked at Bobby and said, "Bobby, aren't you really glad that you prayed?" And Bobby looked at his dad and said, "Yes, Dad. And aren't you glad I stopped when I did?" Well, one of the great truths of God is that when we pray, we harness the power of God. But other great truths of God is that when we give up on praying, God doesn't give up on us. He still offers us His power. That's the heart of the good news that comes to us at Advent. That when the world had given up on God and given up on living in God's way, God sent His Son, Jesus, in the world to bring His people back to Him and to living in His way and to fill them with the blessings that come when we do. But there's even better great news for Advent, and that is Jesus didn't just come 2,000 years ago. Jesus is here today. In fact, He's here with us today, the Scripture promises. And so Jesus is here with us today, offering to come into our lives during this special time of Advent when we lift up His coming, to come into our lives in a new way and fill us with His blessings. Now, we begin Advent today, and during Advent, God offers us distinct gifts every week. And He urges us to take this gift and receive it and open it and let it fill us with its blessings. And the first Advent gift is desperately needed by so many, and in so many ways, is the gift of hope. Now, in the Bible, hope is offered in many different ways, in different contexts, with different meanings. Today, Jesus has offered us His gift of hope in a very specific way, and that is to offer us hope when we are suffering, when we are beginning to give up, when we're not sure there is hope and we're on the brink of hopelessness. I'll tell you the truth about this. I resisted where Jesus was leading me this morning with this scripture. And I really didn't want to do this. I had three other scriptures that had a whole different version of hope to offer to you this morning. Because, you see, this gift of hope in the midst of suffering is very personal for me right now. Because in some ways, Sally and I are struggling to know what to hope for. She is struggling in her life with facing pain and facing continuing weakness, inability to get strength, and thinking about the future of this dangerous disease called ovarian cancer. But Jesus kept pulling me back to this specific gift of hope in the midst of suffering, and hoping that this is not just some personal message of Fred speaking to Fred this morning, because I suspect that in each one of their lives there will be a time when we are struggling, when there are troubles in our lives, when we are afflicted by something that is bearing us down. And that this message of hope in the midst of suffering is one that can speak to all of us this morning. Well, Jesus won me over this morning, as He usually does, by three things that happened. So Sally and I decided on this journey back at the beginning of last week that we were going to read a devotional together. We usually don't do that. And so we went to this cabinet where we have this stack of half-unused devotionals, and the one we take off the top of the shelf, the subtitle is "Experience Hope in the Presence of Jesus." Okay? So I open it up, and here's the opening line. Hope thrives in the trench of adversity. And the first scripture in this book is the scripture that Jesus kept trying to have me offer to you this morning. So I gave in. I just gave in to Jesus, and I'm going to offer you the gift that he has offered to Sally and to me. Jesus offers his gift through Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, Paul is writing this letter to the Romans to Christians who are being persecuted. And when you're being persecuted in Rome, what's happening is you're suffering from economic and social and family problems and struggles of all kinds. So Paul is writing to Christians who are wavering in their hope. And Paul offers them and to us a path of hope, no matter how hope-challenged our lives might be. As I said earlier, although your life may just be just fine right now, there will come a time when you are struggling, when trouble strikes you, and I will tell you, it will probably come in an unexpected time with no preparation. And for sure, there's someone in your life right now who needs this message of hope in the midst of struggles and troubles. Here's Paul's word to us this morning. If we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. For the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we do not know what we ought to pray for, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And He who searches our heart knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love Him. For what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither things present nor things to come, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I begin to open this gift for this morning, the first thing I want to do is dispel a myth. Paul lays out for us this long list of struggles and troubles, including anything in all creation that can afflict us. But I want you to know this. I believe this so strongly. With just a few exceptions, these struggles and troubles are not part of God's plan. I am so greatly troubled when I go to a funeral and I hear some preacher say something like this: God took this child at age 3 with leukemia because it's part of His plan. You see, everything in life is not God acting as a puppeteer, just pulling the strings. If you're Muslim, that's what you believe. I do admit that none of us knows God's mind fully. And I do believe there are times when God lets us struggle in order to achieve some purpose. But the Bible says God has this plan for us. God has a plan to prosper us and to fill us with His blessings of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness. That's God's plan. Not throwing these troubles and struggles on our heads. And I just look to Jesus to see what it is that God wants and what He does. And what I see is this, is Jesus cures diseases. He drives out demons. He breaks addictions. He blesses the children. He lifts up the brokenhearted. He gives strength to the weak. He welcomes the outcast. He brings peace and reconciliation to broken relationships. God delivers us, my friends, from the struggles and the troubles and the afflictions. He does not dump them on our heads and throw them at us just to see how well we do. What God does do in the midst of our struggles and our troubles is what He promises, and that is to work for good in all things for those who love Him, no matter what the things are that are causing us to struggle and bring trouble in our lives, whether it's our marriage, in our family, was in our work, in our school, or in our health, all of things, God worked for good. So God shows us today how to open His gift of hope for our struggles and our troubles. He does this through three hope gift openers. And God's first hope gift opener is this: let the Spirit take over to intercede and to interpret on our behalf with God. Paul says it this way: the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we do not know what to pray for, the Spirit intercedes for us with God. This is so hard for some of you here. Not me, of course, who are control people. If you're control people, raise your hand. Go ahead, Bethany, raise your hand. And some of you other people, you're lying because you haven't raised your hand. Come on, sister. This is church. So if you're a control people, you hear these words, you say, wait a minute. I want to dictate to God how my troubles are going to come out. I want the result. Now, I want to be sure about this. We ought to always pray for what is on our heart. Jesus says, offer your petitions to God. But then He adds, not that God's going to give you what you ask for. What He says is that God will send you the Spirit, which will then give you what is good. You see, Jesus gives us a heads up. What He's saying, ultimately in our struggles and our troubles, we need the Spirit of God to get involved and take over and bring it to God and give us what is good. So, there will be times, as it has come for Sally and for me, and it's come for me as I try to work on this journey with her where she is, where we are not sure what to hope for. As I said earlier, I think it's a risk for the pastor to use his personal experience as the basis of a message. But that's where I am this morning. And I promise you, for the next several weeks, I'm not going to talk about cancer, but today's where we are. Amen. So, what has happened for Sally and me is we have realized that we need help. And so, on Wednesday night, we made this commitment together, that every day we would pray this prayer. Simple as this: Lord, we do not know what to do except to trust You. And we give Sally her pain, her weakness, her anxieties. We give them to Your Spirit. Take over Sally and bring us what she needs, what You decide is good. I'll share with you later what has happened. You see, God's promise of hope is that when we let the Spirit take over, the Spirit will know just what to do when we don't. The Spirit of God will give us the wisdom and the power to do what is good. Now, friends, I want to pray for you and ask you this morning to give up your control. And when you face some struggle or trouble in your life, to say to the Spirit of God, take over. Take over for me. Go to God for me and let God work in my life to do what is good in the middle of this mess. And I want to encourage you that this is not some theory. This is the way it works. So I want to share with you an experience that I shared with you several years ago. It's an experience that a man named John had that I met at a Christmas luncheon. John and I were sitting together at this luncheon, and John learned that I was a pastor. And so as soon as he found out I was a pastor, he does what everybody does when you find out. When I was a lawyer, they would ask my free advice about criminal matters, and of course I knew nothing about that. But when you're a pastor, they start sharing with you their faith and their life journey. So John says to me, well, pastor, which apparently then became my first name, pastor, he said, I've gone to church all my life. I've been an elder in the church, and I read a daily devotional by life, but I want to tell you something bothers me. Used to bother me. I never believed in the Holy Spirit. I thought the Holy Spirit was this mysterious add-on to make a Trinity. Until that time when my Steve was 18, my son. Steve was at a friend's house. And their parents were not there. They were drinking. And Steve went from drinking to driving. He almost made it home. But he lost control of the car and crashed into a tree. The car was crushed. The police did not know how he lived. He was in a coma. My wife and I lived at the hospital for a month. And I prayed constantly for God to heal our son. And nothing happened. You know what I did? I stopped praying. I gave up. After about a month, the doctors came to us and said, "Steve is not coming out. We're going to come to see you tomorrow morning and get your permission to take him off of life support." That afternoon, Leighton Ford came to see us. Leighton is a friend of John and of some of us here. He's a brother-in-law of Billy Graham, and he's an evangelist of his own right. And Leighton came to see us and said, "I'd like to pray with you." And John said, "What I was expecting for the great evangelist is this very well-constructed prayer with the beautiful words and this long and wonderful prayer. Instead, what I got was one sentence." And this is what Leighton Ford prayed. "Dear God, we ask your Spirit to take charge of John. And for your Spirit to sweep through this hospital and bring him what he needs." We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who promises us that in the midst of all things, you work for good. Even in the midst of this thing. Amen. Well, that night, a neurosurgeon had just joined CMC on their staff. He was doing his very first round in this hospital. He came to Steve's room. He looked at his wounds. He looked at his vital signs. He looked at his chart. He called the nurse. He said, "Nurse, how can I get in touch with this family?" And the nurse said, "Well, they're staying right here in the hospital." John said this neurosurgeon came to see us and he woke us up. He said, "I think I know what's wrong with your son. And I want your permission first thing tomorrow morning to operate on him." They gave the permission. He operated. That afternoon, Steve woke up. And 1 week later, he walked out. John looked at me and said, "That was a year ago, and there he is. This perfectly healthy, wonderful looking young man that within a few hours, someone was going to pull him off of life support." And then John looked at me and said, "I now believe with all my heart that there is a Holy Spirit. And if we'll just let the Holy Spirit take over our lives, he will bring a power that can do things that we could never imagine." Well, my prayer for you and for me is that we will receive this gift of hope, of turning over whatever's going on in our lives when we struggle to God's Spirit. And let him sweep through your life and everything around you and give you what is good and what we need. Yet, sometimes so many of us think this "let the Holy Spirit take over" is too ephemeral. Some of you in here like to feel and touch whatever it is. So that's why God actually offers us a second hope gift opener. Don't go it alone, he says. Let the church go to God for you. For the church, this church, is filled with the Spirit and the power of God. This very church here. Jesus said, "Anyone who believes in me, then I will give them the Holy Spirit in all of its power." And Paul reveals in his first letter to the Corinthians, the Spirit created the church and gives God's power to the church. I urge each of us, when we are struggling, to go to a brother and sister in Christ here, to go to this church and say, "I'm done. And I need your help. Because I know the Scripture says the power of the Holy Spirit is living in you. And will you take what it is in me? And lift it up to God so that he will do what is good." I want you never to forget this, that the church has the power of God within it to change lives, to get us through our suffering and our struggling. As I said to our Sunday school class this morning, C.S. Lewis once said, it's not that we expect too much of God, we expect too little of God. So again, I want to share with you how this actually plays out in life. And this is another experience, and it has to do with a coma. This is where I am this morning. I learned this 18 years ago, and it's like it's this morning that this happened to me. I got a call on a Friday night from a woman named Amy, who was a member of a Sunday school class that I taught at Myers Park Presbyterian. And she said, our son, Austin, has hit a tree while he was skiing in Colorado. He is in a deep coma, and a doctor say that he will not live. And she said, we don't know what to do. We're exhausted. And will you pray for us? And so I, of course, prayed for Amy and for their son, Austin. But 2 days later, at the close of our Sunday school class at 10:45, we all stood, we all joined hands, and we all prayed for the Spirit of God to bring Austin out of his coma and to bring him back to life and full health. Early that afternoon, Amy called me. She was not exhausted. She was excited. She said, Fred, Olson opened his eyes this morning. And I said, when? East Coast time, 10:49. The doctors were amazed. They had no explanation. The class continued to pray for Olson. And 2 weeks later, he got up and came home. Amy said to me, we owe our son's life to you and our friends who prayed for him. I said, no, you don't. We owe Austin's life to God and the good that God could do in his life with the power that he has given us. Perhaps it's something the doctors did. Perhaps it's something that God did. But I do know this, my friends. It is no coincidence that Austin woke up at 10:49 on that Sunday morning, that he got up against all odds and came home. Now, I know that asking some of you to reveal your struggles to the church is a hard thing to do. I notice that most of our prayers are for somebody else. When I know, because I know you, there are struggles in your own life, needs in your own life that you are not opening up to us. There are churches in this town who don't even do what we do during our time for the prayer for the people. But this church has the power of the Holy Spirit to get you through your struggles and your troubles. I urge you, yes, it may be private to you. Yes, it may make you feel vulnerable. But I'll tell you my experience is, Sally didn't want to talk about her ovarian cancer. She didn't want me to tell you about how she's not eating and how she's weak and how she's worried about what's going to happen. But I'm sharing that with you because I believe there is power in this church to get her through this. You got to stand through it this week. I got this call from Leslie Phillips on Monday. It was my day off, but she called me anyway. I did say I will do something if you're dead, and maybe it was close. So Leslie called me, and she said, Stan, our son, has had a massive stroke. He's in ER, and he can't move his left side, and we don't know what's going to happen. These are Leslie's exact words. She said, I cannot handle this. I cannot handle this. Will you pray for me? I prayed for Leslie and Hugh and Stan and their family. And then I sent out that email. And Leslie told me what happened. Within minutes, the prayers poured in to Leslie and Stan and their family. And on Thursday, Stan just got up and walked out of the hospital. He got a little trouble with double vision. The doctor said, quote, doctors don't really look for miracles. But today, a miracle happened in this place. And I asked Leslie, why do you think that happened? She said, well, we had good doctors. But that happened because this church lifted up the power of God to heal our son. So I encourage you, even though you may think it's private, even though it may make you vulnerable, admit you have some struggle in your life, to offer to us, or at least one of us, how you're struggling and what is afflicting your life and the Spirit of God that flows in this church and in each of us. We'll give you the power. And God will do what is good. I so hope, my friends. Well, I must admit that what the good is going to be different for some people and different in different situations. But there is one good for sure. As God's third and last hope gift opener, God will always give you His greatest gift, which is His love. You've been thinking this, so I'm going to say it anyway. Not every disease is cured. Not every marriage is reconciled. Not every child gets back on the right path. Not every addiction is broken. Not every job that is lost is replaced. But God, my friends, always works for good, giving us the power of His love. As Paul promises, in all things we are more than conquerors, because nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus, God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have known this truth for a long time, but now I really believe it. This is a truth that Sally and I have rediscovered on our journey as we turned over all these things to God's Spirit to take over. I began to see a change in Sally. Saturday morning, as we finished our devotion, I asked a question I've been, quite frankly, not too happy to ask. So, Sally, how are you doing? She said, well, on a scale of 10, my pain is a 9. I know I need to eat, but I can't. I slept for 11 hours last night, more or less. I've been up for an hour. I'm exhausted. And I know the chemo is going to be long and it's going to be hard. And I know, one step at a time, but I can't keep thinking about it. I know the chances of getting well are 50-50 at best. But I feel different than I'm doing. I feel like this. And she pointed to this, what we just read in our devotional. When you're suffering, your need for me, God says, is greater than ever. The more you trust me, the more you'll find hope in my unfailing love. Cast your anxiety on me, knowing that I care for you. I watch over you and love you always. And in all things, she said, even in this mess, she said, you know, I've always said I trusted in God, but now I really do. I feel His love in here. And because I feel His love in here, I have hope even up here. I had to ask, being a lawyer and all, I had to follow up to get the details. I said, but by the way, it's not always a really good idea on cross-examination. So I asked Sally, I said, so how do you know that God loves you like this? In the midst of all this, you know what she did? She pointed to the stack of cards from you. And she said, that's how I know that God loves me. Because these precious children of God, she smiled again. She finally got it. You're all precious children of God. These precious children of God have given me God's love in the midst of this. What greater gift of hope is there than this, my friends, than to receive God's love from one another? It's the greatest gift that anyone can give, no matter what else life may bring. So urge each of us before the sun goes down today to give God's gift of love to someone who is struggling. Because that is a gift that will always be there, no matter what else happens. And my friends, what greater gift of hope could there be than the love we give to one another? Amen.